Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Macko and Cause podcast. This one's going to be a little bit abbreviated for a variety of work reasons, but I'm just going to start with this. Bob, your pompous level was fantastic. Why don't you explain to everyone what you just did?
Thank you. Matt has a book he's reading, and I scooped it up. And yeah, it's called Spy Mistress, written by William Stevenson, the true story of the greatest female secret agent of World War II. And I literally thumbed through the pages and looked at a sentence or two, and my exact comment was, it looks poorly written.
That is such literary snobbery, and I love it. As someone who took a lot of literature courses back in university, I think it's because the font is a little bigger.
Yeah.
You know, because tiny font screams this, you know, there must have been a lot of hard ass writing.
I stand by my decision.
How you doing?
I'm good. We got a lot to get to, and we should probably just dive right in with last night's loss to the Capitals.
Sure.
4-3, Leafs go down. My Leafs in six words, back to back, got off track.
Yeah. I'm treating, this is where I'm right now, Bob, and I'm going to need your help.
Okay.
I'm treating this like I am going to see a psychiatrist.
Okay.
And I'm on the couch because I'm going back and forth. I'm like, it's just one game. Well, we saw this last year, but it's back to back against a really good team. Do you know that the Leafs and Edmonton have the same amount of wins since January 1st? You know, I'm sort of, I mean, fire Babcock. We loved Babcock the other day when Trevor Moore was put on the Tavares line. So, you know, oh, and then the big one. Someone tweeted this at me. Didn't we say that we weren't going to care about the regular season? It's all about the postseason. But when they lose to Tampa or they lose to Washington, now we're getting really upset. But
St. Louis, too.
Yeah, yeah. Shouldn't we? The St. Louis one never didn't actually really bother me. But just push and pull.
Okay, so let me help you through this.
Yeah.
What is it specifically that you're confused about? Is it how to view this team or how to respond to the, what are they, 4-4-1 now?
Something
4-3
like
4-3-1?
Yeah, 4-3-1.
No, they're 4-4-1. 5-4-1?
No, they played 8 games.
8 games?
They played 8 games.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, they played more games than anyone in the Atlantic. I guess it's how do you react to these losses and...
4-3-1.
4-3-1, yeah. And it's... At what point do we go, what the bleep, this is bull, Mike Babcock, you're Mike Yo, get out of here, someone find me, Craig Berube.
Okay, so here's how I think I can be helpful, Matt.
Yeah.
Think of it in terms of the Raptors trying to become a great team, because we watched a team that was a really good team and had a lot of regular season success and all-star players. Not necessarily like a great player the way the Leafs have in Austin Matthews, but let's just make the comparison. And we watched the Raptors struggle against their own limitations, right? We were excited. We weren't excited. They wound up losing in the same ways over and over again. Here's what we learned from that Raptors team. It wasn't what they did against weak competition that defined them.
Yeah.
That gave them regular season success. And we've seen this year, you put a bad team up against the Leafs, they kick their asses in. It's what do you do against good teams? Teams that know how to play.
Yeah.
Teams that have the skill to back up the strategy. The ones that can knock you off what you do best and force you to play the game they want. Can you then adjust and flip the script back? And we saw this last year. The reason why I think we have that nagging feeling in our gut is because it's not about the 8 games they've played. It's about the last few seasons. And particularly last season. And by the last few seasons, I mean going back to the first Boston series, really. Really. Since then, we've seen them struggle to adjust against top-end talent. We want to believe they're top-end, but they seem to struggle against the top-end.
And if you struggle against top-end, that means you're not top-end.
Does that make sense?
It makes complete sense. So really what we need to do is hope and pray that Ottawa and Columbus and Minnesota, make sure all these crappy teams make the playoffs. Then they'll be okay. You're right.
I like your strategy.
Yeah.
Get rid of the really good teams they're going to face in the playoffs and substitute out the bottom ones.
With the bad teams.
Great plan.
And then we're all there. We're all set. Yeah, I mean, and you're right. It's a good analogy with the Raptors. When before Kawhi Leonard, all those years before, those really entertaining DeMar DeRozan, Lowry seasons, you could see a huge drop off in terms of offensive efficiency and defensive effectiveness versus from the top half teams versus the bottom half teams. And they would feast on the bad teams, which is the sign of a good team. But the sign of a very good to a great team is when you still hold your own and have a winning record against other great teams.
So last night, I'm going to have a few unpopular takes on last night.
Go.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Get out of here.
I didn't. I think they played a really good first period.
Final 1 minute.
Yeah.
Letting in that goal.
Right. And that was kind of the beginning of the end. Mm-hmm. Then obviously there was the hurricane of shit that happened in the second period, which was spectacular and all-encompassing.
Yes, it was.
And then in the third period, they kind of played them to a draw, more or less. And you're talking about a game against a good team on the road, mm-hmm. second night of a back-to-back, not particularly great goaltending.
Yes.
I don't think the Leafs looked that bad, except for one stretch where they looked horrible.
And by the way, that is the yang to the yin. And that's where the confusion comes in, because everything you said makes complete sense. The problem is when you look at it as a vacuum versus, do you compare this like the last 54 regular season games and game 6 and 7 against Boston? You know, that's the challenge, I think, for a lot of Leaf fans. And also, I think that's the challenge for Leafs management and how they view everything.
So here's a challenge for a fan. It's hard not to go from macro to micro.
Yeah.
Where you see all these giant narratives that you bring with you because you love this team and you're trying to find the truth in every minute. Mm-hmm. So let's not go macro to micro. Okay. Let's actually do it the other way around. Let's go micro and see where that takes us.
All right. The first micro I will go to.
Yeah.
Cody Ceci.
Okay.
Cody Ceci. Everyone in Ottawa warned us. You know, they were like from A Perfect Storm, like storm's coming, and we're George Clooney. Bah, we're gonna get ourselves some tuna. That's fine. And listen,
by the way, that was a Perfect Storm analogy.
Thank you.
Not just in terms of its quality, but the actual film, The Perfect Storm.
Yeah, it really is. Not a happy ending. And you know, last year I think I read this Ian Tulloch from The Athletic, who does a great job. Last year, Morgan Rielly had 3 or 4 minor penalties all year. He's already had like 3. And I think he had 2 against Washington. And then you wonder, we wonder, what's wrong with Morgan Rielly? And there could be a little bit of regression and all this. It happens. But part of it is, you know, having Cody Ceci there doesn't really seem to be helping him.
Do you remember when there was the question about Kapanen and Babcock made a snarky comment? Zach Hyman's pretty good, eh?
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's going to be a Ron Hainsey was pretty good comment coming up pretty soon?
It is goddamn coming.
Right? Like, I don't think Ron Hainsey is the best defenseman ever, but I'm sure somewhere in that lizard brain of Babcock's, he's thinking, oh, you get rid of Hainsey and give me CeCe. Nice work, dupes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great point. Oh, I can't wait to go through all the sound today to see if Babcock has done that. So that's my first micro, Cody Ceci on that pairing. And on the macro level, what the hell's wrong with Morgan Rielly?
Okay, so let's take that one then. On the micro level, that pairing hasn't worked.
Nope.
And Rielly looks worse now than he usually does. And it's a limited number of games, so you don't want to get too nervous.
Yeah.
But he's played with some bad defensemen, or at the very least, okay defensemen.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen him be this bad, which makes you think, okay, well, what is Cody Ceci then? Mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say that Dubas loves the challenge and sees the strategic necessity of developing players.
Yeah.
Like taking players that haven't been that good and seeing, can we fix them? Mm-hmm. We tend to think about this with younger players, right?
Yeah.
Young guy comes in the league. We're going to coach him up.
Yeah.
We're going to get him bigger. He's going to learn, you know, how to weightlift at this level. Like, we talk about developing young players. But it's funny. It's almost like there's this invisible line in a player's life as a professional where you go, I can't show him anything else.
Yeah.
And maybe they think deep down, okay, well, he was part of a crappy organization and he hasn't had good coaching. What if we showed him our way to play? Could he be better? I think that's what they want. I don't think that it's going to work, or at least it doesn't feel like it's going to work. But I think this is like this CC experiment is an example of how Dubas hopes to find gold in unexpected places.
And maybe part of this is just the result of Travis Dermott. Yeah, the Travis Dermott injury. He comes up and then, you know, a little bit of shuffle here. Cody Ceci's not going to be in the top two pairings. He's going to go down to the third pairing, and maybe that makes it better. It's so weird that, like, for a team with all this talent and with all this money spent, and we're going, so what's going to fix the Leafs? Hyman and Dermott. It's like, oh, okay, that's what's going to fix them. And that sort of bothers me because it's like, no. Those guys can make things better, but Matthews, you got to be a lot more physical. Nylander, you got to be a lot more physical. And, you know, for the defensemen, including Morgan Rielly, you can't keep getting beat in the corners.
Jorge Garbajosa. Do you remember how much we loved him?
Yeah.
He would dive for balls. Yeah. And when he broke his leg,
we're like, that's it. It's over.
Right?
Yeah.
But for that brief period of time, he was like the perfect foil for the talent on the team.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, one of the areas in which I don't necessarily agree with the analytics group is that all skill is all good. Mm-hmm. What you can't have is a player who's gritty, but shit.
Yeah.
Right? That's not helpful.
No.
If they're just going to get, like, turnstiled on defense constantly. But let's not forget the fact that, like, Kapanen didn't necessarily work with Tavares and Marner, not because he's a bad player, he's just not the right player for what those guys need.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're putting together little units here.
Yeah.
So I actually think the Hyman and Trevor Moore stuff and Mikheyev and whoever else can contribute, like, that's legit. Like,
so then for you, it's funny, the less skilled, not paid players have almost, not the same, but they have more of an impact, not the same impact as a Marner, Matthews, but they almost have the equal,
an important role.
Yeah. They have a more important role than maybe we imagine when we just look at their payroll.
Let's look at chess.
Yeah.
You can load up with rooks and queens and everything, bishops, and that's great.
Yeah.
But you still need your pawns to control the center of the board, right?
And that's
basically,
what the
pawns do is they basically give you, they hold the other team in check so that your power pieces can pick them off one by one.
See, you just gave a really smart analogy. I'm going to add my analogy, which isn't as highbrow. I remember as a kid, my favorite toy was the remote control Bigfoot. You remember Bigfoot? You know,
I remember remote control Bigfoot. Now, was it part of the $6 million man series?
No. This was just part of like the monster truck series. And it was
great. Oh, it was a truck. It wasn't the actual Bigfoot.
No. Bigfoot truck.
Okay.
And you loved it. The big tires, da-da-da-da-da. But you know what made it work?
No.
The little batteries.
Right.
The little batteries.
Yeah.
You don't focus on the batteries, but you need those batteries. And Tavares and Marner, maybe they're Bigfoot, and they needed Trevor Moore, which is the little battery. And maybe, you know, bring back Hyman and Travis Dermott, those little batteries, and maybe they make Bigfoot work again.
So I actually think, like, let's stick with CeCe and just the defensive pairings, right? Like, Jake Muzzin is not the most talented defenseman on the Leafs.
Nope.
He's probably third.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
Rielly, Barry, and then him.
But he's steady.
Yeah.
And he's doing a lot of good things.
He is.
And we get excited about the idea of, oh, man, Rielly scores. And, oh, my God, once again, Barry does something crazy. And it's so exciting to watch. But you need your Jake Muzzin. And I kind of feel like the forwards are missing that a little bit right now.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a few thoughts on this. But one of them is kind of a vindication of Babcock's way of looking at hockey. And this is the micro versus macro I want to get to.
Do it.
I threw out my Leafs in six words.
Yep.
Back to back. Got off track.
Yep.
And someone sent one back. I can't remember who it was. But it's time to fire Babcock.
Yeah.
And people are really mad at him.
The fire Babcock, that is lapping at the shores of Leafs Nation.
Yeah.
And once again, Bob,
said.
Storm's coming.
Storm's oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Callback.
Callback. Nicely done. What do you think about all this anger at Babcock?
I get it because Babcock didn't take really any responsibility when they lost to Boston. I think that probably put a bit of a bad taste in your mouth. You know, just the refusal of minutes and just tactical mistakes made. And then, you know, there is sort of this arrogance about him that I think rubs some fans the wrong way.
Okay, that's a personality thing.
Yeah.
And that's totally fair. But in terms of...
But that's part of why people want someone fired. When you go fire the coach...
Yeah, Bill Belichick's a shit human being.
Yeah.
But no one would say fire him because he wins. So, like, this is about performance and not personality, because we wouldn't care about personality if the wins were there.
Because emotion, when you're not winning, then someone's personality plays a part in when you know, want to scream.
Do you think he's doing a bad job?
There's things I wonder about. The always Hutchison give him the hard start, make Frederik Andersen give him the easy one. I wonder about that. Was Matthews just gassed last night? Why was he not on the ice the last couple of minutes? I don't know. Like, I'm always reticent on fire the coach because I don't see everything that goes on, and I will never claim to be a brilliant tactician. I guess what it is when a team keeps making the same mistakes over and over and over again, you have to look to the coach, and they get outscored first most nights, and a lot of the problems from this year we saw all of last year.
I think your point about the team being slow off the hop is a good one. Because even though that wasn't the case last night, as you say,
yeah,
you see it a lot. And you wonder, like, okay, like, they're professionals. Why are they not ready to play? Why does it take them 20 minutes to get warmed up? And shouldn't at some point the coaches be able to do something? That feels almost like some kind of, like, magic, I don't get it kind of thing, right? It just doesn't make sense. Last night I thought Babcock really blew it, not calling a timeout.
Mm-hmm. During that 3 minutes and 18 seconds. And
they were reeling.
Oh, Bob. I have it. I got it right here. You can see it. You can see it. It started when Jacob Vrana, we thought the shot went in, but then it didn't.
Right.
Then there was an icing. Then the Caps are swarming. The Leafs look tired. Kuznetsov scores with so much just gaps all over the place. Backstrom scores because Morgan Rielly can't beat TJ Oshie. Another Leafs icing. Back-to-back penalties within 9 seconds. John Carlson scores. 3 minutes and 11 seconds. Two icings, two penalties. 6 shots by the Caps. 0 for the Leafs. Outclassed, outplayed, out everything.
I don't know why he didn't at somewhere in that. By the way, that was nice research.
Yeah.
In that sort of...
Amy was away. I had time last night.
It's amazing. It's like when I get up at 4:30 in the morning and I show up with lots of cards.
Yeah. There's always a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why you didn't just call timeout somewhere in that litany of disaster that you just reeled off.
Yeah.
It was so... When you were watching in real time, weren't you saying, somebody stop, they're already dead?
Oh, yeah. It was totally the Hamburglar... You know,
and getting, Homer getting pounded.
Yeah, Homer killing the Hamburglar. Yeah,
he's still in the hamburgers.
It is one of the greatest. It's the
cutaway to the horrified kids is one of the greatest Simpsons cutaways.
Yeah, it's the greatest internet meme. Like, it's used every time when we're all watching the same game and one team's getting blown out. Everyone uses it, and I don't care. I will use it every time because it always works.
I have a very unpopular point of view here that I want to throw out.
All right.
That I think. Do you want to? Okay. Stick around.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to say something that is going to.
Well, you know what's the opposite of unpopular is popular. I want to talk about them real quick. First, SeatGiant.ca. What's that website again? SeatGiant.ca. They are a Canadian company. They're a partner on the show. That's where you go to for concert tickets, sporting event tickets, everything and anything in North America. The great thing is everything is converted into Canadian dollars. You won't get fooled. And if you use the discount code Bob and Matt at checkout, you will save money. We'll get a little cash. You will get to save money on your tickets. It is win-win. And speaking of winning, you know how Bob and I are winning? We're winning legally because of our lawyer. He's our friend. It's Jeff Pollock. I haven't seen him in a while. I got to get together with him. Yeah, I see him now more socially because I have my will and everything done. You got to get that finished. But just the great thing is A, he's a great lawyer. B, he's really nice. He's a good guy and just non-threatening. JeffPollock.com. That's Jeff with a G, JeffPollock.com. That phone number, 416-777-0088. That number again, 416-777-0088. If you need legal help, you can check it off the list of things you never have to worry about again with Jeff Pollock. Unpopular take.
Before I do that, did I tell you on the pod that I pulled a prank on Sandra in my will?
No. What?
Yeah.
Okay, well, she doesn't listen, so you can tell me.
Yeah.
What is it?
That when I die, she has to play jazz music at my funeral.
Really?
She hates jazz. And this is my, and I'm going to leave her a note saying, this is the only way I can get you to listen to jazz.
Oh, oh my God.
So she's going to have to play jazz throughout the whole proceeding.
that's going to be so bittersweet and sad. You know, my feelings.
I think it'll be
hilarious.
Funny. She'll think that's funny.
It's hilarious.
My wife and I. Yeah. My wife's very funny.
Yeah. Oh, she is.
And she will hilarious. Totally get the joke.
Yeah. I mean, I have one simple request when I die is for everyone to devote the rest of their lifetime and money to find a cure for death and bring me the bleep back.
Yeah. I like your plan.
Yeah.
Mine's achievable.
Yours is achievable. Mine a little bit. Well, I don't know. Which one's more? Sandra appreciating Coltrane or someone bringing me back from the dead?
Dead heat right now.
Yeah, dead heat right now.
Neck and neck. Okay, here's my unpopular take.
Yeah.
Do you know what would have happened in the past and the Leafs could actually have used yesterday instead of a timeout?
Mm.
A fight.
Yeah.
They were reeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they were hulking up, the Capitals were. Mm-hmm. And in years past, someone would have thrown a fourth liner over the boards yep. just to start some trouble. And not only does that sort of symbolically have the don't tread on me vibe, but it effectively breaks up the momentum.
It does.
The guys are standing around. Yeah. There's about 2 or 3 minutes of real time that goes. You know, the bench does bang the sticks on the boards. And I looked at that last night and I thought, this is kind of interesting that we live in a time where that wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. And it sort of justified the logic of it.
Yeah, it's a great point. Like in sports, there's always lots of weird things that can change momentum. The Ravens 49ers Super Bowl when the lights went out. The Indians and the Cubs World Series where the Indians had come all the way back and looked like they were going to win it. Then there was a rain delay and then the Cubs managed to win it. But you're right. Just a simple Donnybrook could have changed that second period.
It is so true. In sports generally, but you really see it in hockey because it's such a fast game and there's so much transition, is the key to winning in a lot of ways is survive the other team's push.
Yeah.
You're not going to, like, they're obviously going to score, but you got to more times than not be able to sort of roll with it, bend but not break, because eventually the puck, you know, the ice is going to tilt back your way.
Yeah.
So you want to make the most out of your opportunities, but it's also just find ways to survive that push. And I think one of the ways you do it is by stalling. Right, yeah. And there's lots, and they even brought this up on the broadcast last night. I think it was Burke who said it during the intermission. But it's like, well, then the goaltender has to fake that he has a broken strap.
Yeah,
like do something.
Like
in the NFL about guys who are all of a sudden, oh, I think I have broken ribs.
Yeah.
Call in the medical staff.
Yeah,
you know, unofficial timeouts.
It is a great point. By the way, just a little tangent of that. I was watching. You know, right after the Leaf game, the highlights start on Sportsnet, and they're talking to Brian Burke, and you can tell like the commentators, they feel like they have to be on their best behavior. Like if they're talking to Tim and Sid, like, hey, we had a joke. But with Burke, it's a little more P's and Q's. And
is it because he's so
he's him?
He's just the irritable guy.
Smiles don't come often, at least not when the TV's on. And at the end, like, hey, Brian, we hope you'll come. We'd love to have you back sometime soon. He's like, I'd love to come back. I'm like, they don't believe him. I don't think he believes him. But
my dad interviewed Roger Waters once upon a time,
ooh,
the bass player and lead singer of Pink Floyd.
Yeah, yeah.
Notoriously
yeah.
morose fellow.
Yeah.
And halfway through the interview, my dad's just like, this guy's like a meatloaf. Like, what's this guy's deal? And at the end of it, he looks at him and he goes, well, thanks a lot, Raj.
Yeah.
Right? And his management contacted my dad and they thought, oh, geez, they're going to call to complain. And he wanted a copy of the interview because he thought it went so well.
Really?
He wanted to have his own copy of it. But man, that just goes to show some people just don't know how they're being perceived.
Oh,
and
no.
Maybe Burke is that guy. Like, he thinks he's having a good time, but everyone else is like, oh, man, let's just like don't drop any change or make him jump in any way.
Self-awareness is a skill. But yes, the delaying, the goalie, the faking, something needed to happen. And you're right. At that point, you know, someone called in Matt Martin and, you know, then all the old school hockey people will go, see, but yeah, you're right at that moment.
Also,
I could have helped.
It's pretty obvious now that teams are going to want to test the Leafs' toughness.
Oh yeah.
We watched the Habs do it. You could see it last night. The you know, the Blues are always a tough team to play against. And the good teams are always at least a little tough because you don't get to be good. Like, there are no NHL teams that are quite like the Leafs.
Yeah.
So heavily tilted towards skill. You know, Tom Wilson last night. You know, they taking some liberties with Tavares out there.
Matthews.
That's your captain.
Matthews and Nylander, but not small. One of them just, you know what? Take your stick, hit someone in the face.
Man,
just cross-check someone in the face And, you know, not too hard. We don't want a concussion, but, you know, make the other team think.
You know, I'm watching Matthews last night in the defensive end, and he pulls up before he hits a guy. And part of me says, okay, well, you don't want to take yourself out of the play. You know, you've got an important job positionally.
Yeah.
And then another part of me says, yeah, but he wouldn't do it anytime. Like, you know, when's this? Like, I don't think finish the check, Austin Matthews. And this goes to, you know, you're talking about the macro.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest of great players hate to lose.
Yeah.
Hate it. You know, the Ronnie Lott, cut off my own finger so I can get back out there, kind of almost savagery.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Sidney Crosby's a killer. And that goal he scored last night.
Oh, my God.
Like, what a goal, right? Yeah. But you just know, like, if you sit down and talk to Sidney Crosby, sounds like the nicest guy in the world. Soft-spoken.
He's a dick.
Gentle.
He's
for sure.
Such a dick on the ice.
100%.
He is such a dick.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And we keep hoping that Austin Matthews, who's big and strong,
mm-hmm.
and could cause a lot of havoc out there,
yeah,
will just start doing that.
Just watch a montage of Crosby whacking guys on the hand, or, you know, some groin trauma that he inflicts with his hockey stick. It's important phrasing there. You know, like just, you know, versus groin trauma with his stick. It just, you know, it's problematic. But yeah, if Matthews saw a couple of those montages, if Nylander, if all those guys, we know you got the skill and we fall in love with the shot, rightfully so. But, you know, the game's not always played. It's not always played in the other team's zone.
It sounds insane.
Yeah.
To criticize Austin Matthews,
mm-hmm.
because he looks amazing.
Oh yeah.
And he is so fun to watch.
Yeah.
But we've all watched enough hockey to know, think about the greatest centers in the league. They're all good in their own zone.
Yep.
Whether it's Kopitar or Bergeron or Crosby or Taves back in the day, all these guys were good in their own zone. And we want Austin Matthews to be spoken of the same way we speak about them.
Yeah.
And we just can't.
We can't. No.
We can't.
And they're getting close to that age. Like Crosby, Malkin, Kane, Taves, all won Stanley Cups at around 22. Kopitar was around 25. I think Letang was 23, 24. And listen, there's other circumstances, just how the teams are built and goalies and all these and other defense. Like there's all these things, you know, one player can only be responsible for so much, but a lot of the greats won the cup then. And it's we got to end this soon, but it's kind of,
we
like,
do.
Yeah.
What's interesting then, like yeah. your point's really good, but look at the top four players. The only one who gives you confidence that they're going to do this night in and night out is Tavares.
Yes.
Marner, I think, has shown certainly strong instincts, like certainly the penalty killing. This series seems a little off.
The magic's not there, 5-on-5.
It's just off, right? Yeah. Nylander, we don't feel comfortable he's going to be
that guy. Same
amount
of goals as Gauthier.
You know, Matthews, we love offensively. We think he's okay defensively.
Yep.
So you're paying, like, that's, you know, per year, that's $41 million worth of salary.
Yeah.
And you can only point to one guy that you say, I have confidence they're going to give me a total 200-foot effort.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
It is.
Or it could be a problem.
Yeah.
It could be a problem. You hope that it changes because eventually those guys are going to be on the ice an awful lot and they can't be scored on.
Yeah. We're not done just yet. Here's a big picture question.
Okay. We did all Leafs in this pod.
We did.
I guess 35 minutes, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? If you are a Leafs fan, are mm-hmm. you comfortable if you become the Washington Capitals? You're going to have 12 years of being entertained in the regular season, and you're going to have your heart stomped on you a lot in the playoffs, and then there'll be one time when you're going to win the cup, where you might not even expect you're going to win the cup, and then you win it.
Yeah. Who wouldn't? You know, someone threw out on Twitter a question.
Because there's other way of, like, everyone wants to be Chicago, LA, or Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know what? Given how the city went crazy for the Raptors, and I think it would be even bigger for the Leafs, yeah, one would be fine. I don't even know if my heart could take more than one.
Yeah.
In a selfish way, I may want them to just win one. Then yeah. I can survive.
Yeah, no, it's true. I've been going in my head. I've been thinking about this because the Leafs played St. Louis, who won a cup in one way, and then they played Washington. You know, so those are the last two cup winners. So then
yeah.
your head can't help but think about the journey those teams went on to finally win the cup, and then you look at it through Maple Leaf lens. And I don't have any sort of definitive thesis, but just something that's bouncing my head.
Do you know
head.
What I want for this team?
What?
The same thing I want in life generally.
Mm.
do the best you can with what you have.
Yeah.
Like, I think one of the reasons why there is this little blossoming voice of doubt in most of us Leafs fans is because we haven't seen this team do as well as we think they can. Mm-hmm. That they're still a work in progress.
High expectations is wrecking havoc emotionally with so many Leaf fans.
Right. And so maybe they're just a top five team. You know, and if they, like, you know, you said, would I be okay if they were just Washington? Mm-hmm. They probably are just Washington.
I'm hoping they get to be Washington.
That would be great.
That team won three President's Cup trophies, whatever the hell it's called.
Right.
12 years, 9 times in first, twice in second, and once in
Ovi, they had the most electrifying player in the league. Yep. In Backstrom, they had probably the most underrated player in the league. In John Carlson, they've got the most, you know, one of the most offensively exciting
players. Oh, my God.
He was
good
so good.
Oh, my God.
I think that, you know, and Barry Trotz back in the day was a pretty easy guy to cheer for.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, I think that would be great. I don't know what we're expecting.
Better than what we saw against Tampa.
What, you think we're the Yankees with the core four?
No, they're being paid like a core four.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think we're the Yankees with the core four.
I don't think so either. Part of it is the money. You know, that comes with the territory. If you get all that money, they're like, oh, okay, well then this is who you should be. Because Shanahan and Pridham and Dubas say this is, you know, and you, the player, say this is who I am. Okay, you demanded that money because this is where you feel you exist within the ecosystem of the NHL. Okay, go be that.
All right, so let's look at the possibilities here. Austin Matthews. Mm-hmm. We feel like he might be the greatest Leaf of all time.
Yep.
Could he be better than Sundin?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is he?
No.
Not yet.
Nope.
Of course, it took time for Sundin to become Sundin, and we're kind of fingers crossed that we go there with that. John Tavares, local guy. Mm-hmm. First free agent in a long time to sign with a new team and not the team he was on.
Yep.
Right? That's a big story.
Yeah.
Marner, local kid.
Local kid.
Could he be the next Pat Kane?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, so the ceiling's really high on those three players right there. Like, think about what we're talking about here. They're all Hall of Famers. They're all Hall of Famers. The only thing that's missing is the win.
It's a big thing they're missing.
It's a big thing.
We got to go.
Are you going to vote NDP?
Actually, I was going to end with this with election. I'm literally going to go down to the wire. Like, I actually have been spending time just looking just at different policies and just trying to and put emotion out of it. He's the only adult, like, of the three. Apologies to May. He's the only adult in the room.
Yeah.
You know, between Trudeau and Scheer and Singh. Singh seems like if we want, if we count statesmen or just, you know, just someone who feels like, okay, I feel comfortable with this human being, then that's where I'm going. It's just about, do I feel the policies can be enacted? And like, I guess my only concern is if the taxes go way up, will a lot of business leave Canada? Yeah. You know, that, and I don't have an answer. That's what I'm sort of researching.
In theory, the investment into business will come from other places than tax breaks. Mm-hmm. Right. That's the theory.
Yeah.
I look at it and I don't like to vote for the leader like you. I try to vote for the party.
Yeah.
But it's hard in our country to do that.
Yeah.
Trudeau has a strong infrastructure around him, but he's very hard to like.
Yes.
Yeah. Scheer has been too quiet too mm-hmm. many times on various human rights issues to feel comfortable about it.
Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, Jagmeet Singh, I think for a while took him time to get his footing, mm-hmm. but the Grassy Narrows thing was a very big turning point for me. He's the only one who's really stood up and called it for what it is, like just insanity.
Yeah.
We have communities all across this country. Like, we've got not just one Flint, Michigan, we have many Flint, Michigans, and we just don't talk about it. And that's, and his point about if this was Toronto, would we have any question about what was needed to be spent?
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
you know, so the two-tiered thing between rural and you know, if you care about being a Canadian, that's important.
Yeah.
But the NDP's a mess. They're a mess. They don't even have enough money to properly go across the country and campaign.
Yeah. It's tough. It's a tough one.
You know what, Maddie?
I just wanted to
sometimes go. I feel like voting is like the landline in my house, where it's like this thing that has meant so much to me my whole life.
Yeah.
And is it still relevant? Yeah, I guess.
Well, everyone, do as much research. go vote, and don't be ashamed about who you vote for. Just do your research and do what you think's best for the country. How about that?
Yeah, I like that. Here, I'm going to end with this on that thought.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.